Welcome to the first episode of the Uncupped Coffee Podcast, where we invite you to get really curious about where your coffees come from. We are talking with coffee producers and other folks all along the value stream to hear their perspectives on the joys and challenges of working in coffee. Join us as we take a deep dive into the stories behind the coffee in your cup. I'm your host, Chris, co-founder of Barabul, startup coffee company based in Berlin, Germany. Our guest today is Aimé Dusabe-Gahisi, the managing director of the Gitesi washing station in the Karongi district of Western Rwanda. I first met Aimé back in November 2022 when I was still working out the concept of what later became Barabul. Back then, we sat down at Question Coffee in Kigali and exchanged ideas on how a new kind of relationship between coffee producers and roasters could look like that really values and recognizes the producer as the most important contributor to the quality of coffee that we drink every day. Fast forward today, we have founded Barabul and have our first two coffees, the Gitesi Peaberry and Gitesi Espresso, which are both produced by your team, Aimé, at Gitesi Coffee. Today, I wanted to talk to you, Aimé, about Gitesi Coffee and your work in creating these wonderful coffees. Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you as well.
How is the harvest going? I think it started right now.
I think now we have started the harvesting. We are on starting point.
So maybe for the listeners who are not that familiar with how coffee is made, so you are running a coffee washing station. Maybe can you explain what a coffee washing station is?
Yeah. As you have started, I'm called Aimé Dusabe-Gahisi. I'm a managing director of Gitesi Coffee Washing Station, located in the Karongi district in Rwanda. So it's where we have Gitesi Coffee Washing Station. It's a plant where cherries are coming from small farmers, also from our own plantation. So we received cherries, then we start processing that cherries till we have what we called parchment coffee. Then when you have parchment coffee, we have also to process for the second step to have what we call green coffee. And then we start third step of export to our buyers who have also to start roasting and selling to the final consumers. I think that's it.
You can do the whole chain from growing coffee, but you will also take coffee roots from the farmers and then turn them into the green coffee that then can be roasted.
Yes.
So I read that you're actually a civil engineer by training. How did you get into the coffee business?
Okay. You know, after the Rwandan genocide in 1994, my father and I visited the land where my grandfather, who were coffee farmers, used to live. It was in Karongi, of course, in Gitesi. So motivated by the idea of reconciliation, my father proposed revitalizing the area through coffee farming and the processing. So the initiative aimed to bring together that affected by the genocide, creating jobs and fostering a sense of community. And triggered by this vision, driven by the passion to make a positive impact, I decided to join him in this endeavor. It was in 2012. Despite 7 years of full-time working in various civil engineering projects, the opportunity to contribute to something meaningful drew me towards the world of coffee farming and the processing. So till that period, I'm still working in coffee and I hope to continue.
How was the first time when you joined your father back 10 years ago? How was the situation back then? Were you doing specialty coffee?
Yes, we choose specialty coffee because our country policy prioritizes quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. You see, our country is small, don't have big land. So we have to focus on quality. So due to that limited productions, we just had to add value to that few quantities we have, emphasizing quality to attract buyers based on excellence rather than quantity, because we don't have that quantity.
Rwanda is very much known for very high quality coffees in the world. And if I imagine the transition that you underwent to today, I think it's quite amazing. You won the Cup of Excellence. Did it change how you developed as a business?
The Cup of Excellence was a crucial moment for us. So it was in 2012. So it was my first year to start that career of coffee business from civil engineering projects, as I told you. So buyers began recognizing our value from then. So the appreciation motivated us to enhance our quality further. Today, our coffee is not only known in our country, but also globally, consistently ranked among the best in the world.
You mentioned that the main motivation for you to get into coffee was to support the community to build a sustainable economy. What are the programs that you have to support the community of farmers?
We engage with the community through partnership, first of all, training programs, support the local initiatives. Also, we promote sustainable coffee farming practices, provide health insurance for poor families. So we offer cows to increase farmer incomes, also supply organic fertilizer for their coffee trees. So they get that organic fertilizer through that cows project. Also, we try to distribute even inorganic fertilizer also to increase their production. So I think this is among our programs.
If you think about the coffee farmers, how big are their farms, and how does specialty coffee change the, let's say, coffee farming for them? Is it easy for them to grow the coffee fruits to the standard that you require for your specialty coffee? And if so, what is their financial impact compared to commercial coffee?
You see, it's a process. It's not something that can change in one day. But as you see, we have started that one of the programs of Cow Project have started 7 years ago. And we have already distributed more than 150 cows to 150 families. So I think it has changed a lot how their life through their incomes, you know, through that programs, they can get fertilizer, so which mean increased production. Secondly, they can get milk, which helps to sell, and they get other kind of incomes beyond coffee cherries. And also, we have other programs. So I think their lives have been changed a lot from when we have started the programs or the washing stations. And the people were coming, like buyers who visited us, try also to visit farmers and experience that change. So they get even testimony from farmers about all of that. So I think things have been changed in our community a lot from 10 years ago.
In other parts of the world, what we hear is that a lot of people who have small farms in coffee, and they don't want to work in coffee anymore, and they're trying to move to bigger cities or trying to even leave the countries where they live. How is the situation in Rwanda?
The challenges we have, not only outside, but it's all over the world. You know, the price we give to coffee farmers, all that are coming from international market. You know, we are not the one to decide the price, because all the price are based on the international market. So it's a challenge, because that's why we have to work all of us together as farmers, processors, exporters, buyers, to see how we have to work together and motivated our local farmers in the world so that they can continue working coffee. Not that they can leave that business, and because coffee need patience, need time. So you know, this world with new generations, people think about investing in business which can give a return on investment very quickly. So they are not motivated with something that they have to wait, and they don't even have an idea about the price they will going to sell their product, because they are not the one who are have to decide about the price. So it's a challenge. But I think as people are aware now about that challenges, now we are started working together with some buyers to see how we have to valorize that work that I'm doing with farming, and try to motivate them so that they can remain in that business. That can have a problem in years to come. But I think I have hope that with all of us together, will change and things will continue as it should be.
I think here, if we look at our side, so to speak, the roasting, I've observed the roasters don't really think about the long-term prospects of the producers. And as soon as maybe there's a downtrend in the demand for coffee, they just switch without thinking of the long-term impact on growing. Because then maybe in the countries where you grow coffee, people have started planting different varieties, more coffee trees, expecting demand. And then suddenly in Europe, we say, oh no, the next best thing is we need Robusta, we need this other variety. And so the main challenge will be to form like a real long-term partnership that is also predictable for the people who grow and process the coffee. Because in the end, it's a business, you have to plan long-term. And if one side is very erratic, it's difficult for you then, I imagine.
Yeah, sure. That's where we have started our own plantation to show our local community, our local coffee farmers, how they have to do their work. Instead of relying only waiting for the price to be increased, let us think about how we can increase the production on coffee trees and have more quantities on trees so that we can compensate the price when we don't have that price. But getting more production, more quantity per trees can help us getting the money we have invested. Try also to get some benefits on that. But I think with insight of all of us, buyers and processors, we have to think on that, on the price we buy the coffee, on the price we give to the coffee farmer so that they can remain in that business.
The coffee trees that you plant, are they all the red bourbon variety, or are you experimenting with varieties as well?
Yeah, all of the coffee we have, it's Arabica bourbon coffee.
Okay. Yeah, so we do have the pea berry coffee from you and washed coffee that is roasted as an espresso. Can you give us listeners some insights into how do you process the washed coffees?
Yeah, we process coffee using three methods. Fully washed, coffee beans are fully cleaned and a strip of mucilage before drying. Secondly, natural beans are dried with the cherry fruits, imparting a fruit flavor. And thirdly, anaerobic beans fermented in an oxygen-free environment for unique taste profile. As you know, blueberry coffee is unique because it consists of single ground beans instead of the usual two halves. Rarity often impart a distinct flavor profile.
Do you sort it by hand, the pea berry, or how do you separate them from the two seeded coffees?
Yeah, the pea berry is separated through hulling by machines because you can't do that by hand and the quantity you need. So you use machines which are seated for that small size with that screen and get pea berry directly.
Super interesting. You also have installed some innovative water treatment methods on your coffee washing station to reduce the environmental impact. Can you tell us what you did and also what other things you do to make the coffee processing more sustainable?
As I told you, first, I'm a civil engineer. When I started this business, I saw lot of challenges in terms of environmental. So I thought about how am I going to contribute in that problem. So thought about the treatment plant, how I I can help in that waste management. So, and I implement in, first in my washing station, the wastewater treatment plant, so that I can treat that wastewater, treat the pulps, so that they can be useful and in an environmental than too. So I have started that, and I think now it works, not only at the washing station we have. I've started also giving some expertise at other coffee washing stations. And I think now I have already implemented or constructed 3 wastewater treatment plants at other coffee washing stations. And then now I have started 2 months ago, other 4 washing stations. So I think it works, and it will help problem we have these days in environmental. So I think working in that environmental help not only our business but also the community who are close to us, so that they can live the life which is good. And I think it's all.
And I think you're also Rainforest Alliance certified.
Now we are not, because I'm not renewing that certifications. Now we have only what we call quality management system certificate. Okay. Now
what do you think about the certifications? Because there are so many and they all cost a lot of money, right?
Yeah, they are good, but it's very expensive. And when we try to show our buyers to see how they can just make a premium based on that certification, just to see if you can get a return on that investment, it's not easy. Some of them are not motivated by that, or even if they are motivated by that, but some are not ready to pay that cost, which is, I think, it's not easy to continue working in that certifications when we don't have that premium to finance that certifications process. So it's a problem. It's good, but it's a problem. So unless we have buyers who recognize that and who are ready to invest on that, it can help. But we have also buyers who are not interested on that, only interested on quality, about what we do and the processing we do and all the work we do, helping community and so on, I think, which is good as well. And I think till now, everything is good. That's why we have focused not only that kind of certifications, even if it's good, but we are waiting till we have buyers who are really needed and they're ready to invest on that, so we can come back on that.
I think what people need to understand is that these certifications are very expensive, very time consuming, and in the end, it doesn't change how the coffee is made. I mean, whether you have the certification or not, you're having these sustainability programs anyways, and the certification does not change that. So for me, I would think that it's even more important for coffee producers to establish their own brands so that they get the brand recognition and people know that EDC Coffee is producing quality coffee that is sustainable and works with the community. And I think that's also our approach at Varavul. So I think we are very happy that you're working with us, and we're hoping to work on a very long term together with you. I also read that you're roasting for the market in Rwanda. And how is the specialty coffee market in Rwanda?
Yes, we are doing that. Rwanda coffee is becoming more popular these days, though historically it was not deeply ingrained in our culture, as you know. However, this increased promotion, marketing, tourism, has been a huge coffee consumption in the country these days. So our coffee is also available in the country, in supermarkets, some hotels, and we are trying to expand our markets so that even in the future we can even start exporting the roasted coffee as well.
How do you yourself like to drink your coffee?
I love coffee a lot. I love coffee a lot, especially espresso in the morning, in afternoon. It's bold flavor and really energizes me a lot, so I like coffee and I love coffee.
And you can get the freshest of the fresh coffee.
Yeah,
So if you look into the future for Gitesi Coffee, what are your plans? Is there something in particular that you are proud to have accomplished?
Yeah, we have a lot of plans, but let me say some of them. Expansion of our plantation to meet growing demand. We increase our coffee plantation every year by planting at least 1 hectare per year. Invest in quality control and train farmers for consistent high quality coffee. Identify target new markets as well. Explore partnership for wide reach. Of course, establish and maintain strong brand identity for coffee, for Gitesi Coffee, as we have started with you. Develop customer loyalty program and engage with customers. Embrace culture of continued improvement in all operations. Enhance Gitesi Coffee's appeal as a destination. Emphasizing natural beauty, Gitesi, that people are coming to different changes and different things.
Do you have tourists as well? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they also foster community, support local development and the commitment to be environmental. So I think that is some of the program we have in the future.
I can say that Rwanda is a really beautiful country with a beautiful nature, and I would recommend everybody to visit and also to visit Gitesi, because you're quite close to the Lake Kivu, right? Which is also
exactly. Yeah, so it's a good area to visit if you are coming to the Lake Kivu, to Karongi district, so you can enjoy a lot of things there. Among that, we can have all the you can increase your knowledge in coffee from seedling the cup of coffee. So we try to help our tourists and the people who are visiting us to know about coffee from the scratch to the cup of coffee. And then we try to show them, to test with them different processing coffee we are doing. So some of them knows only about fully washed, but they can enjoy also natural, anaerobic, honey, and so on. So we try to make them enjoy the trip and the visits a lot.
Sounds very good. Very excited for the future of Gitesi Coffee. Yeah, so I know you're busy with the upcoming harvest, so I don't want to take any more of your time. It was a real pleasure speaking to you, and hope that maybe in the future we can do this again and talk about how the harvest is going and what exciting coffees you have to offer. So thank you, Emi. You can actually buy the Gitesi Peaberry and Gitesi Espresso here now. So our approach is, you may know that we are co-branding, so you will always have the Gitesi Coffee logo next to the Varabul logo on an equal setting. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the conversation. So stay tuned for more conversation with coffee producers and other inspiring people that are trying to transform the coffee industry towards a more equitable, equal industry that is really respectful of all and takes into consideration the producers of coffee and also really values partnership and not just profits. In the meantime, we would love for you to be part of our Varabul Coffee community on Instagram, and you can also follow Gitesi Coffee on Instagram. We give you a behind-the-scenes look in our Instagram, and we also have some collaboration posts coming up together with Gitesi Coffee to promote Gitesi Coffee and Varabul together. So thank you, Emi.
Let me thank you as well for this great conversation and sharing information with our customers. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day.